Welcome to Pagan Coffee Talk, a traditional Wiccan podcast where we will discuss topics affecting the pagan community from a traditionalist perspective. The topics we discuss are picked from our magical hat, and the discussions are unscripted. The talk shall be led by Lord Chase Knight Smith, Elder and High Priest of Third Degree, and he's joined by Keegan, First Degree Priestess. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Fife Temple and Seminary.
Welcome to Pagan Coffee Talk. I'm Keegan, and as always, Lord Knight. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay.
Great.
I think we're going to hit a topic that you wanted to touch on. Are there bad witches, or are they bad and not? They just don't know it.
Ooh. This almost sounds like, you know, just my wonderful field I love of ethics.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I know when I suggested this topic to go into the Magic Hat, I was watching a video, a podcast on YouTube, and the lady doing the podcast was talking about protection and all these things you can do for protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this, and I know in our tradition, we don't worry about this a lot. We do things to protect our house, but it's to protect it from negative energies, people who might want us physical harm,
mm-hmm.
people who might have, who could have ill intent toward us physically. But we never actually talk about protecting ourselves outside.
No.
Some of us are very involved in the general pagan community.
Mm-hmm.
At large. So, which brought me up to the question of, why don't we ever talk about this? This is me flipping the script on you and trying to get your opinion on this.
Nobody wants to hear my opinion.
Well, I know, but bear with me.
Well, let's talk about it.
I know when I'm teaching, I can be very hard on my students and stuff like that.
Just a tad.
Regardless if I believe what you do is irrelevant to me.
Right.
I mean, you might, you know, me or any of my students might have a difference of opinion on certain beliefs.
Sure.
But I would rather know that y'all could stand up for those beliefs in that witch logic way.
Right. Yeah.
Versus just going, hey, it's from a book. But I also see this as, you know, you being able to stand up to other people who might question your religion.
Right.
Now, as far as bad witches out there, yeah, I believe there are people out there that have an understanding of craft enough to be able to do certain things. And that, yeah, they can use those abilities against you and sometimes do. That people sometimes get mixed up in the covens where these covens feed off that energy of others. And that these are things that we have to be aware of.
Well, we're aware of it. I mean, we're well trained. If we're trained with you, we're well trained. We're aware of it. And typically, we can handle it if it comes up.
Well, I mean, no, like for years, I worked at a hospital. Oswin, my better half here, works at a hospital too. And things happen at a hospital. You know, there's a lot of energy and emotion there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that these things will follow you around and might even follow people home. We still want to keep those negative energies out. I know we do certain things to make sure they don't follow us home. Or if they do, they don't get too far past the front door.
Right, right.
If they can get to the front door.
If they can make it that far, right.
Most of the barriers and stuff we put up are for the opposite reason.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to keep certain energies
in
check in the area.
Yeah.
I think which confuses a lot of people when we sit there and talk about that, and or when we hear other people talk about this, we're kind of like, huh?
Right.
That we believe that more people probably need protection from us versus, you
know, us needing protection from them. Oh, yeah. I would agree.
Which, you know, I guess to some people would probably look at it and go, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you think the bad witches, where does that come from? Lack of training?
I think it's a little bit lack of training that I know when I was younger, much, much younger. And before my studies with Lord Man, my view on doing this stuff was, you know, like, especially when I was in like high school, that gives you any indication of how long I've been studying this stuff. Taking advantage of people, you know, manipulating certain situations to my favor was never a second thought.
Right.
I never worried about the moral or ethical implications of doing such things.
Right.
I was more into the need. And again, without study or training there and some rules,
Some boundaries there.
I could see someone easily continuing to follow that path for years upon years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. You can definitely get caught up in that once you learn how to manipulate and take advantage. You can get caught up on that. And I believe it's easy without training. It would be very easy to do that without even thinking that that is what you're doing.
Well, I mean, the majority of times it starts off small. Like in most of the older books that I read when I was younger, if you're standing there in a... Well, it was easier when I was younger because we didn't have distractions like cell phones and stuff like that. But if you're standing at the grocery store in line to help sharpen your abilities and stuff like that, you could stare about, you know, somebody aimlessly just standing there waiting in line, not really thinking about anything, and keep on staring at them and thinking, turn and look at me.
Right.
Just to get them to look at you. While this act of my, you know, when you're thinking about this act in and of itself, it's quite harmless.
Still manipulation, though.
It's still manipulation. You know, but you're sort of proving to yourself that you can manipulate things. It's an interesting technique in learning how to do and stuff like that, because it does come helpful when you're at parties.
Right.
Or
useful.
Or at a bar or something, and there's a cute person down the bar or something, and you want their attention more than anything else.
Just their attention, huh?
Just their attention. Well, and once you get them to look at you, you hope that you're flirting and that you're cute enough to get their attention after that.
Well, do you still do that today? Not the bar thing, but...
I was about to say, let me think about how long it's been since I've been to a bar. So, it's been a while.
Been a while.
But then, on the other hand, me and Oswin's been together 27 years.
It's been a while.
It has. It has.
And but, did you know, manipulate him?
I will not comment.
Do you still manipulate or use your skills to your advantage with other people?
Believe it or not, while I was working in management, I often did.
Is that...
But, you know, I still think I was doing it to the benefit of them and myself, because the better they would perform, the more chance I had of giving them raises and justifying new equipment or whatever.
Well, how is that different from, you know, I think the when some of the heavy hitters are, you can't make someone fall in love with you. You can't make someone do things against their will. How is that different? How is manipulating certain situations to your advantage different from the other?
Because, you know, you'd have to ask you, you got to ask yourself, am I using magic to manipulate them, or am I just using my understanding of human behavior, my ability to observe patterns or recognize people's patterns versus using magic? I don't know about other traditions. I know in our traditions, we push this a lot, that you need to pay attention to what's going on around you a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And that you need to watch out for those social cues and stuff like that, that you might not, the average person might not notice, unless it's specifically directed at them.
Right. Right.
Because again, I know we've argued in the past that, is that the real sixth sense that we have? It's not the fact that we have some extrasensory perception, but it's just that we, through meditation and stuff like that, sharpen our other five so sharply that we notice stuff that nobody else does.
It's a good question.
But I mean, when we're talking about bad witches, yeah, I believe there are bad witches out there. There are witches out there, yes, who hex people.
Do you think it's intentional?
Yeah. I think some of them, you know, I believe some people are out there and they like harming people. They like, for some reason, to control and manipulate. I think sometimes it's not done intentionally because they don't think about what it is that they're actually doing. And to give an example, in which I'm gonna dread this later, when you think about the election and what's going on in politics now, I could see groups on their side or one side or the other getting together to cast a spell to make a particular, to help promote a particular outcome.
Yeah.
But the larger amount there is, are you allowing people the freedom of choice then?
Right.
Are you really, you know, if you don't understand the consequences of your actions, there's a problem there. That's like doing these rituals where I've been to, these public rituals where they get together, they build up some energy, and then they try to heal the earth.
Right.
Right. Yeah. All right. Here's my thought process on that, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Is, first of all, how arrogant do you have to believe that your little group is powerful enough to, quote unquote, heal the earth? And what are the ramifications of that? Does that mean 50 million people have to die?
There goes China.
What's the repercussions of that? Does that mean that the East Coast is going to be hit with more hurricanes, killing more people? And we don't always think about that.
I think some of us do think about that.
Well, some of us do. I know, you know, I use this analogy when I teach y'all to illustrate how in the world a good intention could be devastatingly go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're sitting there talking about certain matters is, you know, it really depends on your viewpoint. But I try my best to teach y'all that y'all have to look at both viewpoints. Equally.
And you do. Yes, you do.
That if you're going to argue a subject, no matter what it is, you have to delve into what the other side believes and why they believe it. You mm-hmm. can't just leave it up to media or one source. You have to go out and hunt.
Oh, yeah. Do your research.
I know I am bad about sitting here, and I know y'all, I drive a lot of people up the walls. There are certain people I watch on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
There are people I listen to that are really far left, and there are people I listen to really far right. And then there's one person who I listen to a lot that's right in the middle. And I like the person right in the middle because that's where I believe the real understanding becomes.
Getting up on both sides.
You get sort of a both sides image there. I don't want to sit down and watch a program that's constantly telling me this is bad without saying there's something good there.
Right.
I think I've discussed this before. There are certain people in history that we look at and say, okay, they've done some bad stuff. But what did them doing bad stuff make us look at ourselves and go, hey, you know what? We're not as bad as them, but we're still pretty bad about this. And maybe we should need to relook at this as a society.
Evaluate
our own ethics and morals on this. If this is the extreme.
Right.
Give you a prime example here. I remember when I was a kid, I used to stay over at my grandmother's house a lot, and she used to love Donahue. She watched Donahue religiously, all right? He one day had white supremacists on there. Mm-hmm. And I find this fascinating as an adult because, remembering back to this program, he allowed them to get up there and talk.
Right.
For the majority of the time. Then he got up very calmly, not yelling or screaming or anything like that, let other people ask questions and made sure it stayed respectful, started to deconstruct their arguments and challenge them on their beliefs.
Oh, you liked him then?
You know, I liked him. I liked the way he did that. Because by A, allowing the person to talk and get out what they wanted to say in their message, it gave him the opportunity to go, but this is what the facts are.
Right.
This is what's really going on. And I think that had a great impact on me as a kid. It made me question what I believed in and what I didn't. Let's admit it, I was raised in the South in the 70s. And things were quite a bit different back then. But when I got older and got into the craft and started to realize you could do some of this stuff, here I am going around manipulating people.
Right.
Now, if I hadn't ran into the Lord, man, I could see where in the world this could have gone down a deep, dark path.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Not thinking about any repercussions or stuff like that.
And that's where the training comes in.
That's where the training comes in. But I also believe that we don't necessarily have to protect ourselves against these. We just need to be aware that there are bad witches out there, just like there's bad people out there.
Sure.
There are going to be witches out there who want to take advantage of you, want to use your power for theirs, and vice versa. It happens. Now, I think through our training, we protect ourselves because we're a little bit more, I don't want to say hyper aware of it, but more cognizant.
We're definitely more aware
of what in the world's going on around us. Now, I'm not going to say this is true of all traditionalists, but, you know, I believe the majority of the traditionalists out there really honestly seem to have that under control.
Yeah.
I know you've talked to other traditionalists and found out we don't diverge from one another too much.
Cut from the same cloth.
There might be slight differences.
Slight.
So, which, you know, leads me to believe that they're doing the same type of training, maybe in a different way than we are.
Not by much. We'd get along with most of them perfectly fine.
Yeah.
There are people.
But yes, I believe there are bad witches out there who will do things. There are witches out there who will accept money for putting a curse on your next door neighbor.
Now, is that lack of training or is that just selfishness or self-centeredness?
I think that's more self-centeredness. And I think it's more of ego.
Well, that's one thing you beat out of us.
Well, I try. Well, I mean, I tried, you know, I want to make sure y'all understand y'all's ego.
Yeah.
When am I doing something for the right reasons? Because again, our philosophy is all priests and priestesses, which is anybody of first degree and higher, must act in the best interest of temple, of craft.
Yes, you do.
And while I will sit there and tell you that you should be selfish in your beliefs and your religion and your spirituality, that by doing so also helps out the group.
Yeah,
I agree. As you become a better spiritual person, that allows you to help other people achieve their goal too.
And you'll have an understanding of what that means. You know, when I help someone else or when someone else, you know, achieves something in craft, it helps everybody.
Right. You know, it helps your group. It helps the community at large. Because I'll be honest with you, you know, high priestesses and high priestess jobs are not easy because we're often those people that tell you stuff you don't want to hear about yourself.
You always are that person. Yes, and that's you.
And which we do. I think we do. We piss off a lot of people. Because, no, I don't want to hear that about me.
Well, no. Who wants to hear it?
But as far as the bad witch thing goes, I've never ran across one. And the majority of them, yeah, that do this, I think it's more of an ego boost.
But if they had, again, if they had that training, they'd be aware of their ego in the first place.
Right. If they had that training, if they do that meditation. No offense to the solitaries, which kind of scare me about them.
Right.
Is, I don't mean this bad. I just mean it kind of scares me about them because I could see where some of them could go off on an ego trip.
Mm-hmm.
Versus not.
Oh, because yeah.
This is not something always you can do yourself. And I can't sit there and say, all solitaries do this. They don't. But I could see where being in that situation could cause some to want to go down that road and not realizing that's where they're going.
And sometimes you need somebody there to go, hey, get back between these lines. You in the right. ditches. Come on.
You know, you're swinging too far one way versus another.
Right. Which I think is a good point because, you know, yeah, there are bad witches out there, but I think that there's a lot of witches that are in this love and light constantly, and I think that's just as scary.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. The other side is just as scary that everybody's nice, everything's mm-hmm. friendly, there's nothing out there, everything's mm-hmm. rainbows and unicorns and whatever
mm-hmm.
can be just as dangerous because those people can fall into traps where these people have less than good intentions.
Oh, yeah. You have to be aware, no, everything is not good. It is not always love and light. That's just a fact.
No, I mean, I know I try to stress that when I'm teaching y'all that it's not. You know, mm-hmm. I also, you know, try to stress personal responsibility.
Yes, you do.
And the fact is that the only person that causes problems is yourself. It's not your boss's fault. It's not the government's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's your fault.
Right.
For allowing these people to influence you. I could be wrong there.
No, taking responsibility, I think, is a big one that without that training, you don't have. Well, I guess some of them do, but I haven't seen it. Training is important. I think it just comes back to training.
Well, I mean, you, like most, know how much time and effort I spend on thinking about and debating ethical things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little obsessed about it, but...
Just a tad.
But, I mean, it is something that needs to be explored.
Explored?
I mean, because do I suddenly fall into the category of a bad witch? Because I know as one of my responsibilities is to protect those in my coven, temple, whatever you want to call it.
No.
Even to the shedding of my own blood? Come on.
That's our preference. We're happy when you can shed blood.
There you go. You know, you were so mean to me sometimes.
I don't think so. It's all in love and light.
Well, I'm starting to run out of coffee here, so is there any other part of this that you want to cover right quick?
No, I don't think so. You know, the ego, training, and being aware, I think these are important things that witches need, and some of them just don't have.
Some of them don't.
If they had the training, they'd have those ethics and those morals, or at least they'd be aware of them.
Because I would sit there and tell any solitary, you know, you need to think about this. You need to meditate upon it. You know, you need to figure out where your ethics and morals are.
Right.
by sitting there and just glossing over them, or sitting there just going, oh, yeah, I just follow the Wiccan read. But what does that actually mean?
Right. What does it mean to you?
Right.
Look inside yourself and figure this stuff out.
And write it down.
Write it down every once in a while.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Please write it down. Then go back in a year, read it again. Mm-hmm. Meditate on it some more.
It works.
It really does. All right. I'm out of coffee.
I'm out of coffee as well.
All right. I guess that next week we'll have a new topic.
Of course.
Well, bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to Pagan Coffee Talk. I hope you join us next week.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks.